This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, speaking to you out there live to tape from my usual couch location in the middle of Glen Burnie, Maryland. And with me as always on this fine August evening is the mermaid herself. Lots of A's. So A for August, A for Anna. Anna Knox.
Yeah. Yeah, happy August, y'all. I can't believe that we are, we've hit the 5 month of quarantine and here we are talking about hockey.
Yeah, speaking of A's, have you been giving a lot of those out?
No. Luckily, I didn't have to do the extended school year / summer school. So I am officially not teaching and not educating anybody at this moment, which is fantastic. But in 2 weeks, things will definitely shift.
Yeah, and that's it's going to get interesting because the playoffs will be more than heated up by then. So, we're going to have to some navigating, but we'll figure that out, I'm sure. There was, of course, the exhibition game. Are you into exhibition, Anna?
A little bit.
Okay.
We'll just leave it with that. We'll leave it up to the imagination.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm allowed to say so, and that's it. there was, of course, the exhibition game against Carolina during the week. That was the one and only game. So we will recap that, of course, as only we can here at the Power Play Point Podcast. But, of course, we here are always out there for you, the fan, you out there between, within, of course, and without the District of Columbia, State of Maryland, and Commonwealth of Virginia, and beyond, across the pond and around the world. You loyal listeners, two in particular right now, I want to thank for kind of keeping the page going, the Facebook page going, acting as our unofficial official news correspondents right now. So I just want to thank them here now, Diane Doyle and Christian Levesque, who have both taken time to post, some valuable, useful articles from Nova Caps and other sources. So I just want to take some time to thank them both, call them both out, thank them both kindly for adding to the content of our page. Thank you both very kindly. And anyone out there listening, go ahead and join our Facebook membership page. It's Power Play Point Podcast. Power Play is all one word. Do a Facebook search. Look us up. Join our membership page today, and you can also be a contributor. And just want to, I ought to thank Tony Olcott as well for helping us keep up with the Bears and the Stingrays and the goings on with them as well.
That's awesome, like local insight that I really appreciate. And I think I told you I had an opportunity to meet him and Christian actually when I did the Ovechkin signing October. I don't, everything kind of blends together, but it was fantastic to meet Tony and very knowledgeable. And then, of course, we can't leave out Grant Green.
Oh, yes, of course. Mr. Grant Green from Fife, Scotland, with his ever entertaining pregame videos, which you can catch on the Caps Fans Facebook page. And of course, he always has some witty banter and commentary to add before and after games and during, of course. So highly recommend that as well. So thanks, loyal listeners, for adding and enhancing the experience. I just wanted to cite a couple of names, a couple of pretty valuable people in deference to that. Thank you all very much. Okay, so getting to it. Well, this was my first experience with an actual game under COVID. I knew what I was getting into, pardon me, in that there was not going to be any actual crowd, but I did not quite know what I could expect. So I still don't know after seeing what I saw, what little I was able to see.
Right.
And here, I don't know. What do you think of it all?
Well, considering if we had the option of, no hockey, no fans, nothing, and, we put it off. Okay, that was a possibility if it really came down to, the health of the players and the staff. But to watch the game, some of the background noise is a little bit cheesy. However, I understand why they do it. I think it's a mental thing for some of the players that, it makes it that much more real. Not that they're not giving 100%, but I think it's okay. You'll learn to ignore it. I don't know what that sound is. That's awful.
Go, Anna, go.
Yeah. So that's like paranormal activity freaky sound.
Oops, sorry. I lapsed into Star Wars there. Sorry.
I was going to say you took it too far.
Yeah, sorry. No, sorry.
I'm kidding.
I know, kidding. But
it's different, but I'll take it.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to I wanted to give my take on it. For
it's
our listeners
generic.
Out there. Yeah. Yeah.
Very generic. And so so I can see, your sound effect is it's very like to me there was like the very first time I saw it, I think I looked at Ian and I said, it's like those really terrible jokes that are told on a sitcom and are supposed to be funny and then you have like that fake audience laughter. I said that's kind of how I felt like with this where it was like, it wasn't very heartfelt. And so I can understand Jacob Vrana saying that, when he's been out there, he's missing the whole like unleash the fury. I can totally respect that as, just to be like, yeah, so you're missing it. So are we. We miss saying it. But, it's okay. I will say that I give the NHL a lot of credit for the Toronto and Edmonton bubble because what we're seeing is, knock on wood, whatever you want to do, we're not seeing the rise in COVID cases like they're seeing, unfortunately, with baseball. And who knows what will happen with basketball. But I feel like the NHL really got it together so that they really wanted to make this experience as best as they could. So if they're going to have the cheesy sound effects, I should say, okay, I'll go with it. I had to listen to Mike Milbury today and Pierre McGuire, and I'm like, if I have to sit through them, I can sit through cheesy noise. cheering in the background, so how it goes.
Makes sense. And yeah, like you said, fingers crossed that the yeah, there's no spike in more COVID cases, thank goodness, so far. So yes, definitely in agreement there. So yeah, that put out there, let's go ahead and get to the recap of the game. It was played Wednesday, I believe, in Toronto's Scotiabank Arena. Scotiabank, right. You were richer than you think. Okay, so let's get to the scoring summary as we do. Pardon us, we're going to be a little rusty. This is the first time we've done it in, what, 4 or 5 months? Okay. All right. So 8:27 into the first. Alex Ovechkin opens the scoring, assisted by TJ Oshie and Dmitry Orlov. Actually took two whacks at it, about 15 seconds apart. And the second one was the one that went through. Of course, it was on the power play. Seven hole, as Joe B. and Locker called it. Vincent Trocheck, 30 seconds later, tied it up on a something of a bizarre goal. This was the one where the net was knocked off. It was Nick Dowd that ran into the post and knocked it off just before the puck was knocked in. They actually had to go to video review, and they said, yep, good goal. And before everybody brings out their pitchforks and torches, there is a rule that says the referee at his discretion can call a goal if it crosses the line immediately before, immediately after the puck, the net gets knocked off its mooring. So nobody go get up in arms and, you know, threaten to burn down anything. It's all legal. So, okay. So on to the, okay. So we're still in the first period, and on there, the go-ahead goal scored by Kuznetsov, assisted by Ovechkin and Orlov. But if you watch the replay, very key element here, very key setup that occurred at the blue line. And, well, this wouldn't be the first time this young man was key in setting up a score. But, of course, old number 43 kept the puck in the zone, got it over to Orlov, who got it over to Ovechkin, who made a brilliant slap pass to Kuznetsov, who was waiting in the net and tapped it in. So if you watch the replay, look out for that. Of course, not something that makes the score sheet, but had it not happened, no goal. So love to see that. First line definitely clicking. On to the second period. Ovechkin gets his second of the game. Assisted by Nick Jensen and Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson blazing up the right wing, finds Ovechkin open on the wing just after crossing the blue line. Brilliant pass, shoot, and score. Caps up 3-1, and Canes get one back. In the third, power play goal by Tuvo Teravainen, Radko Gudas made what looked to me to be a half-assed attempt to block the shot, and only ended up getting in Vitek Vanacek's way. And yeah, that was all that was. But fortunately, the score held up, and Caps come away with 3-2 win. Anna, you take it away, because you actually sat and watched the whole game, whereas I only saw the highlights. What did you make of the action?
Well, I was excited. Because it's Carolina, and because I knew that this, like you and I had discussed, and I think actually you brought this up last week, was that if the team was not going to come out strong from the get-go, you know, then there's no excuses. It's like, hey, listen, you come out strong or you don't. And they did, 100%. They came out, and this was definitely a team that was there was that chemistry, which I love, and the skills and the quickness and everything was fantastic. Am I surprised that Alex Ovechkin scored the first goal? Not at all.
Nope.
He looked amazing. I think if somebody had said to me, you know, who's going to get it, I always have, you know, my threes out there, my Wilsons, my Brana. But Ovechkin, like, you just, goat. That's it. 100%. Like, here is a player that has, he has earned that captain title for these exact reasons. You know, he was exactly where he needed to be, played exactly the kind of hockey that his teammates needed to see. So he was fantastic. Tom Wilson, wow. If you see that second goal, that pass, wow, that's just that in those 4 months that these players have been off, that maturity with Tom Wilson has just, you know, gone, you know, through the roof for me. As, yes, do I love Tommy? Of course I do. But as a player, it's fantastic to see his level of maturity and skill set on the ice against Carolina, because we know that, you know, rivalry. I will say I was impressed with Holtby. I thought that he looked like he was in the zone. I was impressed with, I was impressed with Kuzi. I think he has finally has that dark cloud of what happened last year and the whole cocaine thing and all that ridiculous stuff. I think he's finally in a good headspace, and I think he's in a playoff Kuzi mode, which is exactly what the Caps players and, of course, the Caps fans want to see.
That whole first line was clicking.
Yeah. That chemistry was just like, holy crap. So, like, I think, you know, actually, Gil, before when you asked me had I been giving out any grades or whatever, now that I think about it, yeah, that first line is, you know, it's A's across the board. I was really like, oh my God, this is it. These guys look great. You could see the passion and the competitiveness of Rana. He missed a couple good shots, but, you know, he was giving it his all. And that was always, of course, great to see. I will say now, I think I put it out there before on our Facebook page that I was a little weary on Carlson's effort, but then I understand the severity that hit against the boards that he had obtained, we'll just put it that way, was a little bit more serious than I think I had looked at it, you know, when I was watching the game, because he just looked off.
I was going to ask you about that. So was that your judgment before or after that awkward whatever happened to him into the boards?
Yeah, honestly, like, I mean, if I'm going to be totally honest, I felt like he was just off the whole game. For some reason, I felt like he was just kind of a second behind his teammates. You know, like, almost had it, could have gotten that, you know, kind of thing where you're just like, what's going on with Carlson? So then when the injury happened, I didn't think of the severity of it and didn't realize that, you know, he had to miss the practice, like one or two practices, I think he was out, but he'll be in the game tomorrow. So I don't know. There was just something off with John Carlson. I was like, but I will say, Siegenthaler, awesome. Michael Kempe is back. I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
If you watch the highlights, he had one or two quality chances, which means he's getting open, which means he's a lot more mobile than he was. And that's a very good sign.
It's an awesome sign. And I think you and I we've spoken before about Gudas. I think if I have to look defensively, he is not one that I am impressed with, you know, I can't get started on the Orlov thing, but I will say I'm impressed with his 2 assists. But then he also had, you know, stupid penalty minutes in the sin bin. And so that just kind of cancels it out for me, where I'm like, you did great. And then you did this, so we're done. But Carlson, Dylan, Kempe, Siegenthaler, the whole, loving that. Gudas, Orlov, and on the other end, and I know that I'm flipping positions here, but Kovey. I need to see more from him to justify the hype. that makes sense.
That's fair. I mean, what little I saw in the game, I mean, he didn't look horrible, but he bobbled the puck a couple times when he couldn't have, but then, you know, joining the rush, he didn't look out of place. He didn't look slow. So, I mean,
no,
maybe he needs a little more time. Yeah.
But no, like I, and that's where I'm going to have to go on the other end and say, no, you are a professional hockey player. You have been in the NHL. This is not like it's a rookie season. I understand he's new to the Caps, but that doesn't matter. He knows the players. He knows what he needs to do. And we've heard all of this hype about him, and I know. I mean, I've seen, you know, you see the past, you know, amazing shots and plays that he's done. But why aren't we seeing it so much with Capitals? And so that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him to just really kind of come out and like blow me away and be like, okay, I should have been, you know, I should shut my mouth and been on, you know, the Kobe bandwagon from the beginning. I just want to see more. And I feel like I don't know why we're not seeing it.
Well, I think his time to shine will be on the power play. And I think the more time he gets, he'll probably end up playing more on the second unit. And maybe even the first, if it's permitted, but that's right. Probably where, at least with him, you're going to see his ability come through. So, I mean, hopefully they can play to a level where they're going to get more chances on the power play. So he's got that time. 5-on-5, maybe not so much, because he's probably going to stay on the third line, maybe the second line, mostly. I can't see him displacing anybody on the top line, but.
Like, do you see somebody do you see a line that he, like, when you think about it, like, if you had to hypothetically come up with the lines yourself, like, who would you put him with?
Well, that's the thing. I'm kind of with you on the fact that, you know, we haven't seen anything, and that may be because he hasn't really had enough time to develop the chemistry, the on-ice chemistry, with anybody yet. So it's hard to say. I can see him meshing with a Backstrom or Kuznetsov as his center. And that's going to be the key, meshing with the, you know, whoever can get him the puck. And those two guys can certainly do that, but it's going to be a matter of figuring that out. And unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of time to do that. You know, he didn't have a bad game, but yeah, he's not lighting it up. He's not blowing up anybody's skirt. He's not, you know, he's not, you know, really overly impressing anybody. But, you know, then again, you know, didn't really give up much to get him in the first place. So,
all right,
it's a waiting game. But what I liked was the D, like you said, the D playing up to their ability. Brendan Dillon had a quietly effective game. Plus one shot, three hits, two block shots, 15:37 time on ice. Vrana, Vrana didn't light up the scoreboard, but He had his chances, and he'll put it in when the time comes after some time. He probably needs another game or two. If I were to say that anybody had a bad game, I wasn't all that impressed with Ponick, but I don't think he had a bad game. If I were to call out anybody, I'd say it would be Gudas. Possible exception, Carl Hagelin. He took a couple of bad penalties. And, you know, that was my fear about him, if everybody remembers. But overall, I was pleased with the effort that I saw. And it looked like they had not been affected by the rink rust. And that's what pleased me. I think Holtby was also, like you said, I agree. He was very good. He looked focused and in his game. I didn't like that first goal though. Yeah, I know it was kind of a half-assed goal in that the net was kind of dislodged and it was all messed up. But if you see the replay, okay, so the initial shot comes through. He's clamping down. He's squeezing the pads. He's bearing down, you know, bearing down real hard, trying to squeeze everything, and then the puck squirts through.
Mm. Oh. Was that a vivid enough painting
for you?
Well, when I watched the game, even if you listen to the commentators who we love, there was nothing he could have done. It was one of those goals that was going to go in. It wasn't like, oh, he could have had it kind of thing. So I don't know. Maybe I have to watch it again because I kind of went off of like there was no way he was going to get that. Was it a frustrating goal? Sure. Was it something that Holtby needed to get out of a system? Yes. Like, had he gone in with a complete shutout against Carolina, that would have been fantastic, and you would hope the momentum would go for, you know, the Tampa Bay game. But I feel like, you know, sometimes you just have to get that goal out, shake it off, and then zone in. And he was, I thought his two periods were fantastic. And Vanacek, honestly, I think I was more impressed than I gave the kid credit for. I didn't think he was going to be terrible at all because, obviously, you know, he's fighting for a spot as much as Copley and, you know, whatever's going on with Sammy. I thought that he looked he was intense. He was aggressive. He was on it. And I didn't feel the nervousness I've had with other maybe like the first couple of times, whether it was Grubauer or Copley, you know, between the pipes, and you're like, oh, I'm nervous for them as a person because the first, you know, NHL game. Let's ride that adrenaline high and let's stay and play smart hockey. And I think that he's going to be one that is going to, the more time he has to play, the better, you know, we're going to see. I don't think that he was, I was impressed with him, to be honest. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, no, what I saw, yeah, I don't think, Vanacek didn't look out of place. And if you look at the numbers, Holtby 12 of 13, two periods of work, and Vanacek 13 of 14.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nothing really bad. The one period of work and coming in cold. I mean, I don't really think you can ask for much more. So, but I mean, it's kind of obvious that, yeah, Holtby is the guy and is going to be the guy, but right. I'm not as worried about the backup situation, at least not right now. Cause I think we got two good ones. So,
I agree with you.
And yes, I kid about that first goal, and you know, it came through and all that, and slithered in, however you want to put it. But you know, if that's the kind of goal that you know is allowed, then okay, fine. And it was only one in two periods of work, so I'm not too worried. If he can keep up that kind of an effort, I don't think there's much to worry about. I am a little concerned about the D giving up close to 30 shots, which they did. Like to see them cut that down. But other than that, this is pretty good game. Pretty good first game back. Not as much rust, as I said. Some dumb things the players did. But
do you like the Do you like the Carlton Dillon more than the Carlton Kempney?
I'm not sure. I like Carlson Kempney because they have unbeatable chemistry. But if Carlson's not 100%,
right,
then fine. Let Dillon be the guy that hangs back and let Kempney be the guy that roams around and tries to make things happen. I don't have a problem with either one of those pairings.
Yeah, I don't either. I didn't know if you had a preference. I always feel like, when I had seen, I think originally I had thought that when they put the lineup out that it was Carlson and Kempney, and then it had switched to Carlson and Dillon, and Kempney was dropped down. Regardless, you know, like Kempney, like I said, I big supporter of his, but I feel like he is, you know, a player that had that gruesome injury and has come back. And, you know, we were sort of on the fence with him towards the end there about, you know, being a little bit cautious, but wow, he looked fantastic in this game. And he didn't look like he was hesitating. Like I felt like, you know, before, which I would be hesitating after a horrific injury and going on the ice being like, oh shit, oh shit. Like, I don't want this to happen again. But he was playing smart hockey, during this hockey match, and it was impressive. So I just didn't know if you had an opinion on who should be paired up on chemistry wise, but I feel like they're interchangeable. But I didn't know if there was any pair that you felt was better over another.
I'm fine with either. I think he fits in well with both. It's going to depend on, and see, this is I don't want to get into another argument, but this is where the coaching makes the difference. It's the coach's right. job to recognize how the game is flowing and what matchups are going to be best for however the game is flowing. So, you know, maybe you want to have a thumper in the back, you know, like Dillon to take care of business and then just let Kempney do his thing up front. Or mm-hmm. maybe you're behind and you want to generate some offense and you want two guys who can move the puck and themselves. So you go right. Kempney Carlson at that point. So, you know, it's up to the coach to figure that out. And I just hope they realize that, you know, they can slot all three as one pairing, but recognize when it's appropriate to switch them off. So that's how that situation can be taken to its fullest advantage. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We talk about schedule.
Well, before we get to that, though, obviously, you know, the D did their job, but obviously what was most impressive, of course, was the offense, particularly the first line. How about those last two goals? We talked about, Wilson not getting credit for an assist, but obviously playing a part in that second goal, and then his assisting on the third goal. Both of those times it was Wilson and then Russian. Wilson and then a Russian. Yeah. So I'm thinking we might have the makings of a new drink there. So instead of Black Russian or White Russian, I don't know, maybe pain train Russian, Wilson Russian.
Yeah. Whip Russian.
Oh, whipped cream and vodka.
There you go. See, I'm there for you. And they have a name for it at a bar, and I can't believe that. And that's probably why Jenny's laughing. Brilliant. And I will, or
we might not. We might have just invented a drink here on the Triple P.
We have not.
We haven't.
No. Are you being serious? Like you don't know what that is at a bar?
No, what is it?
Let's just say, so if someone celebrating the birthday, but more so if a bride, soon-to-be bride, comes in and she orders a blowjob, hands behind her back. It's vodka whipped cream, and you do it without your hands, and everyone cheers.
I didn't think, and no, I can't say it for you people laughing already. I didn't think that drink had whipped cream or vodka in it.
Vodka, you know, vodka maybe not. I guess it kind of depends on who is the recipient of the shot, what they prefer. But if there's whipped cream on top, that's usually what it's for. And it's, yeah, you don't use your hands.
Okay.
I will
take your word for it.
Okay. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah. We could come up with something else aside from that, but I think we've kind of, you know. Anywho, so yes, we'll say Tom Wilson was impressive with the Russian players, and it's a fantastic lineup, and we'll leave it at that.
Whipped
no cocktail needed. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, so that's the wrap up for that. So moving on to previews of coming attractions, of course, the round robin J. King, Robin Unzicker, whatever you want to call it, begins in earnest tomorrow. As we're recording this, this is August the 2nd, Sunday evening. Begins at 4 p.m. Toronto Scotiabank Arena against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Next game will be Thursday the 6th against the Philadelphia Flyers. That's going to be a good test. And the final of the three round-robin games will be Sunday the 9th, no time given yet, against the Boston Bruins.
Right.
So,
Do you watch anything today? I don't know if you have time to.
I caught a bit of the Boston-Philly game. And I was a little surprised. Philly really took it to the Bruins.
they did.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised. I heard Tuukka Rask didn't start because he's unfit to play. What's that all about?
Not unfit to play. He was ill about 3 days ago, and they said
ill how?
They didn't say it was COVID related at all, but just that he was ill, and that they decided to put Halk in. And obviously that didn't work, but yeah, he was definitely missed on the ice today, because I watched part of the Predators game first against Arizona, which, go Coyotes, holy shit, like that was good to see. And that's kind of, I will say, I'm kind of loving the playoffs because of the fact that there are some players that are coming out that you're like, well, I didn't see that coming. And there are some teams coming out that you're like, well, good on you. Like, let's see how far you can take it. I.e. the Canadians beating the Penguins last night. But I will say that there was something very interesting about that Boston game today. They just seemed very off. It seemed very choppy, to see them playing. It was like they just seemed rushed and not really into the groove, and I feel like the Flyers came out strong. They looked strong, and they weren't gonna take any shit from all of our favorite players, Marshawn. But I think that's just one of the things about this playoffs, is that I know we went into it sort of very heavy-hearted about the health of the team and the health of everybody, and should we do it, should we not? And now that we're into it, these players are coming out and they are giving their all, regardless of it's, you know, if they're round robin, if whatever the situation is. Like, you are seeing players, I mean, even in that Caps Carolina game, it's like here's something that doesn't really count. But these players came out and gave it their all. Like, there wasn't any, there was, you know, like, this is it. Like, they were going to come out strong. So I'm excited to see, you know, all of the matchups going forward, because you're really seeing some fantastic hockey out there.
Yeah, no, I will agree. And that's to me, it's I think all the teams that are involved in this thing realize, okay, got to ramp up the sense of urgency here, because this is the only shot. And yeah, they got to do whatever they can to, you know, shake off the rust and, you know, not let the extended time off affect them. So yeah, I mean, from what little I've seen, what the small sample size I was able to see, yeah, it's quality hockey, and I wasn't worried about that. I was, but you know, I was more worried about the fact that I'm sorry, I guess I'm too much of a traditionalist. This is way outside, you know, what's normal, but then this has not been anything like a normal year. So I'm not mad that hockey's back. Of course I'm enjoying it. I don't know. I'm still the guy in the swimming pool, kind of hopping around and not diving in just yet, but no, I'm getting there. I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Yeah. I will say, I sat here and watched a good amount of hockey yesterday and a good amount of hockey today. And what you are seeing is a lot of passion and a lot of guys who have wanted to get on the ice. And so therefore you're seeing a lot of penalties. You're seeing a lot of, some stupid shit going down. But there's fights. I mean, Justin Williams, you know, he had his moments against the Rangers yesterday. It didn't take much. But he's usually not a drop-the-glove kind of player. So you're definitely seeing everyone wanting to give it their all. And they've been, you know, kind of pushed to their limit. So they're going to go all out. But there's a ton of penalty, a ton of power plays. And you're like, oh, my God, like, this is crazy. And but it's interesting to sit back when you're not a fan and say, okay, that team has a good, strong penalty kill team, and how this team performs the power play, and how this works, and then certain players that are not playing due to injury or whatever, how that's affecting, you know, their lineup and how other players are stepping up. So to me, it's been exactly how you want to come back from hockey after 143 days or whatever it is. You want to see them coming out and not be rusty and playing like they've actually, you know, like how they got there when they earned the spot on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I will 110% agree. Nothing wrong with the quality of play. Nothing wrong with the effort. No problems with that. It's not as bad as probably some of us thought it would be. So zero complaints about that. All right. So with that, I think this is a good place to stop. Yep. So as I laid out, so it's the next three games. So going to be keeping an eye on those as much as possible. And then the actual playoffs start the week after. Of course, we're going to have to find out what the results of the other series are. So, and I don't even know. I'm going to take another glance at the schedule. So the last game, okay. So the last game is actually 1 week from now, Sunday.
Right.
So I don't know.
They don't know.
Yeah. I don't, and they don't know what time. So it could be, it could be 4 o'clock. It could be a night game. we don't know. So probably going to look at, tentatively, Monday the 10th when we record, because we'll actually know a little something by then.
Right. So, and I can do it before 7, and then we're good to go.
Right. So
but we'll talk about that another time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, that, yeah, we will. Cause that might, we're going to have to, gonna have to figure something out because I'm still on till, well, I can cut out at 5 and get back up here, so that shouldn't be too much of a problem.
But I'm only on for, 15-20 minutes, so.
Oh, right, right, right.
That's the other concern.
So have to do it after. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So yeah, we'll figure it out, like I said. And so the next episode will be out. Basically, what all that means is it's going to be a little bit later than usual, but we don't want to go on until we know at least some idea what the playoff matchup will be for the actual first round. So that's why it's going to be late. So sorry, folks, but we're doing this so you have all of the information we can give you, and mainly that we don't look like idiots. Not that that's avoidable.
Yeah, it's par for the course. So
that it is. But I'm just a fisherman, and you're a mermaid who grants wishes. So
that's it. My guess.
Yep. Okay, so we're going to cut it off for here. Thanks again, as I said, to Tony Olcott, Chris Levesque, and Diane Doyle, our unofficial official correspondents. If you want to get in touch with us, it's Facebook page search Power Play Point Podcast. We're also on Twitter. I'm at BlueLiner98, at BLULINER98. And my personal email, GLHALLOWED. At yahoo.com. Anna, how can they get a hold of you?
You can find me at on Instagram at Aquanox49 and on Twitter at Anox, A-K-N-O-X 49. That's probably the best way to reach me. And then, of course, our Facebook page.
Perfecto. All right. So with that, this is for Ananox. This is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that last week I found myself kind of bored. So I decided to go into my wife's spice rack and swap the labels around. Well, so far she hasn't noticed. But there will soon come a time she will need my sage advice.
It looks good, Kill.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.